is supposed to solve. Sometimes error messages are inadequate, and nod goes to daily WTF for this particular image. No, I didn't ask permission. I probably am supposed to. Sometimes error messages aren't helpful. Log messages are frequently not better, and I don't know if this is readable, but effectively what this is saying is that Java spent 14,000 lines telling me about this error. I don't like looking through 14,000 line Java stack traces, or anybody else's stack trace. The point of all of this is that applications misbehave. Sometimes they tell us about it. Sometimes when they tell us about it, it looks like this or this. And sometimes they don't tell us about it at all, which doesn't take from us the responsibility of fixing the problem. So sometimes there are tools to get at the information that you are interested in. But there are problems with these tools. For instance, you have a system that is running slowly. You know, users call and complain about running slowly. We've had this happen, right? And you say, okay, I think it might be, this is guessing more or less at random, maybe based on experience with the systems involved. I think it might be a memory problem. I'm running out of memory, I'm swapping, and that's making everything bad. Or I think it might be a disk problem. My disk I/O is just too slow, and that's bad. So you start looking at tools. You've used maybe IOSTAT or VMSTAT or MPSTAT or PIDSTAT or LSOF, or you've looked at the proc file system. Now, question for those people familiar with proc file systems. Can you tell me all of the internals of the proc file? Does anybody not have to look at the documentation at some point when dealing with, for instance, the proc file system or IOSTAT flags? Yeah, exactly, I know. So these tools are nice. Yeah, well, for the sake of the recording, that comment was even the source of the proc file system. Sucks. So there often exist tools that will give you the information that you're sort of interested in, if you happen to know where to start looking. But the problem is, you've never heard of the tool, right? I mean, I listed a few of them, and I imagine many of the people here have heard of all of them. I certainly don't know precisely what all of the ones that I listed do, and I'm sure there are other tools that I didn't list. So there are tools, you know, particularly for Unix people. It seems that the Windows people are more or less stuck. When looking for these tools, maybe they're not, and maybe I just don't know. I'm willing to accept that. But you've never heard of the tool that you need, probably. If you have, nobody else has. The problem there is that you can't ask anyone for help. Sometimes you can look at the code, but sometimes the code isn't any help. Even when people have heard of the tool that you're looking for, they haven't heard of all of its options. They haven't heard of how to use it, and its output differs so remarkably from the output of every other tool that you want to use that trying to integrate the two in any meaningful way is pretty much impossible. For instance, I turn on IOSTAT, and it says, oh my gosh, you're swapping here. Now, that's probably a bad thing. But maybe it's not a bad thing if I don't happen to also know that Joe Programmer has badly written a script that's hitting my disk even harder than my swapping is, right? So integrating IOSTAT, maybe, and VMSTAT to find this problem becomes difficult. Okay. Finally, the more specific the tool, the more output you need to sort through to find the problem. The other day, we were talking about poking stuff with strace. Has anybody just done that? You probably all have. You turn on a process, you look at what strace says about it, and you're familiar with strace. It lists out every single system call that everything makes. That's a lot of output. And there are ways of filtering that down, certainly. But the point is that at the lower levels of detail, the amount of output that you get from this tool you've never heard of is really astounding. And especially if it's a tool you've never heard of, trying to get it to filter that down to the interesting bits quickly becomes a difficult problem. Okay, enter dynamic tracing. Those of you that have heard of SystemTap or dtrace, anybody like to give an explanation of what dynamic tracing is? Because it's probably better than what I have on my slide. Anyone? Volunteers? Fine, I'll make the slide do it. Dynamic tracing allows users to instrument production systems in, ideally, whatever way they want without ideally breaking things in the process. Is that satisfactory? Okay, Gavin says that's okay, thank you. So the idea here is you have this production system and something's going wrong. Maybe you know where in the code you'd really like to put a log message so that it could tell you precisely what bad value you've got so that you can fix that. But you can't actually go and recompile this app and stick it on production for any of various reasons. Or maybe you have no clue where you're looking or where to look to find the problems that you're after. Dynamic tracing allows you to instrument things, if not wherever you want, then at least in a whole bunch of little places. And the idea is that enabling this instrumentation or enabling the software that you're running to give you this instrumentation is not something that will destroy your system. Okay, there are lots of packages that will do something like dynamic tracing. I'm here to talk about two, dtrace and systemtap. Dtrace started on Solaris, remains available on Solaris and OpenSolaris, on FreeBSD, on OS X. I believe that that's the sole list of platforms where dtrace is available in some form or other. The Solaris version is very mature, very widely used among Solaris people. FreeBSD's version is less mature than Solaris, and because of that relative lack of maturity, it has relatively severe limitations for some use cases. FreeBSD's goal, as I understand it, has been to develop an implementation that will effectively match that available in Solaris before they start continuing on other spiffy development that they might want to do. But in any case, there are a number of limitations that particularly apply when you start trying to use dtrace against Postgres, for instance. I don't know of anybody that runs OS X servers. I'm sure there are some. It's not me. So dtrace on OS X doesn't honestly excite me much. Certainly the ability to run it on your MacBooks might be neat, but not as neat as getting it to fix the customer app that's not running on your MacBook. And finally, any guesses about how much life OpenSolaris has left? Solaris itself certainly will remain in some form. My bet is that OpenSolaris, thank you, Robert, zero, that OpenSolaris is not long for this world. That may very well already be dead. I think the website disappeared this morning. So I am not talking about dtrace so much, largely because the only operating system with it with which I profess any familiarity and which I expect to remain available is FreeBSD, and its version is somewhat limited. Though we will talk a little about what those limitations are. Okay, systemtap. Systemtap is a Linux-only thing. I expect that most of us are largely Linux users when it comes to servers. That may be wrong. To be honest, I don't much care if it's wrong because this is my talk and you came to it, so there. Systemtap is less mature than dtrace. That said, it does offer a number of features and functionalities that could be said to exceed what dtrace offers. It also has limitations with respect to dtrace. It requires certain kernel patches and debug information to be made available. Those kernel patches, and we'll talk about where they are available, are not as obscure and unavailable as you might think. There are other packages that do things like this. I've heard of something called ProbeView on AIX. It makes me think of one of those like medical things, the long tube with the light at one end and the video camera, and they tell you to like turn your head and cough, and then you don't want to know what happens next. that's true. It's much like all of AIX. I will not be talking about ProbeView. I sort of shudder when I say the name. Okay, the basics. So these are some commonalities between systemtap and dtrace. So software that you might want to run, your application server, your database server, your operating system's kernel, various drivers within your operating system, whatever, are instrumented with what are called probes. These are typically in the code, it looks like a call to a macro of some sort. This is linked against some systemtap or dtrace library, which puts a little probe point in your application. To be honest, what that means more specifically is not something I have the technical merit to try to describe. can think of this, though, sort of like you would think of a trigger in a database. A trigger in a database is a function that runs when something exciting happens. This is effectively the same thing. A probe point is a place where you can hook one of these triggers. Indeed, many people call them hooks, and maybe that's the term I ought to use. There is a simple C-like scripting language that you use to tell a dtrace or systemtap what you want these little triggers to do when they occur. The script that you write tells which probes are used and what to do with them. This script is compiled into some form or other and run at the kernel level, which makes for some interesting necessities when dealing with this. The environment in which this code runs is designed to prevent you from doing awful, nefarious things at kernel level. And you can maybe think for a while, if you feel like it, about the sorts of things that you could do without those protections. And ideally, the overhead of adding these little triggers is very, very limited. So, for instance, sticking little probes all throughout your application might clutter up your code, but ideally doesn't slow it down any. And then turning on dtrace to run little triggers at any of these little probe points ideally doesn't slow your application down significantly. Now, part of that burden is on you, the programmer of the little script, not to put in things like infinite loops and other bad ideas. But the monitoring overhead is supposed to be minimal. There are some differences. Dtrace is compiled into a bytecode and is run in a dtrace interpreter, which lives at kernel level. So this is a virtual machine like Java or Parrot or something that runs at kernel level and interprets this dtrace bytecode. It provides some sandboxing to make sure, as I said, that you don't do bad things in the kernel. Systemtap code is translated into C, compiled into a kernel module, and then run as a kernel module. Dtrace is far more mature than systemtap. Systemtap requires these kernel patches. Specifically, this is a patch called utrace. It is available standard on Fedora systems, on Red Hat Enterprise Linux systems, going back, I don't know until when, and CentOS systems. So it is quite possible that some of you or your clients are running kernels capable of systemtap right now. Systemtap is different than dtrace in that it can put its probes effectively wherever you want. And we'll talk more about this, but systemtap is less focused on a specifically programmed probe than dtrace. It operates a little more like a debugger. You can kind of stick a breakpoint wherever you want. It doesn't stop your entire application like a breakpoint would, but you have the ability of instrumenting really wherever you want. Dtrace runs on lots of operating systems and is licensed under the CDDL. Systemtap is Linux only and GPL. Questions thus far? Are we doing okay? Am I talking too fast? Great, we're happy. Thank you. If I can. Okay, so here's an example. After all of this, we get to look at some code. This is Hello World a la dtrace. We begin, we echo Hello World to the screen, and we exit. And we run it like this. So a little talking about what this means. Trace is more than simply a command to just print stuff. It shows me things like the CPU that I'm running on. It shows me the probe that I ran and the output that I told it to output. When I say begin up there, this is a special dtrace begin probe that fires at the beginning of every dtrace script. This is useful not only for Hello World examples, but also for initialization and, anyway, the sorts of things that you do in a begin block of any other program. There's also an end and an error block and a few other things. This makes sense? This is pretty clear? This is a slightly more complex example. All of the scripts that I will be showing you are necessarily quite short. I say necessarily mostly because I don't want too many people to have to squint. These scripts can be very long and very complex, and sometimes with very good reason. And then this, I didn't separate the script and the output so much, but here between the braces is the script itself, and then these last five lines are the output. This is using the dtrace syscall provider to show me, to do something at the entry to every system call. So this is going to run just as often as you would get a line of output from strace if you could strace the entire system simultaneously. So every single system call that happens on my system, this thing is going to run. Okay? This could conceivably be quite a lot of stuff. Now, what will happen? Let me start right here with probe func. Probe func is a dtrace variable that returns the function name that triggered this probe. And I think I'm going to move forward just a little bit and then back up some to make this make more sense. A probe is declared in dtrace as follows. We have a provider, a colon, a module name, colon, function, colon, name. What this means is dtrace has several providers, including a kernel provider, a syscall provider, I/O providers, several other things. Within those providers, there may or may not be specified modules. Each of those providers has functions. These functions are just like functions that you call, are exactly functions that you would call if you were coding the stuff. And then there are names of these probes, like the entry of a function or the return from a function. So what we've said here, whenever we don't specify, say, a module or a provider, it's effectively wildcarded. So we're using the syscall provider. Every time we enter a system call function, we're going to run this script. Does that make sense? Okay, so probe func will return the function name from the probe that actually fired. We're matching a whole bunch of probes when we run this by the use of these wildcards. Probe func is the name of the function that actually fired the probe. We're going to put it in an associative array called num, which we would have declared elsewhere in the script. And this is kind of a neat thing that the dtrace and systemtap will do. This is an example of an aggregate. So when you are capturing, for instance, every single system call on your system, that gets to be a lot of data. You might want to do things like minima and maxima, math people, counts and averages and other aggregates of these data. For instance, you might want to capture every single read to a specific disk or to any disk and see how long it takes from start to end. So at the start, you would have a probe. You would capture the time of day into a variable local to that thread. At the end of that function, you would have another probe that would take this variable, subtract it from the current time of day, and get a value. That value would be how long that I/O operation took. You would then stick that I/O operation time somewhere so that you could do calculations on it later. Now, the obvious way of doing this would be to create a big, huge list of times. So this operation took 10 nanoseconds, this one took 15 years, and this one took another 3 seconds. And you add all those together and divide by the total number, and you get the average at the end. The problem is that in the massive scale that you're doing this, when you capture, for instance, every I/O operation on your system, you tend to bog things down when you do it that way. So dtrace and systemtap offer special aggregate variables. So what I'm saying here actually is that the little at symbol says that my variable is an aggregate variable. My variable is this num array indexed by probe func, and I want to capture the count for each separate probe func. So this I could probably do almost as efficiently just by having num probe func plus plus. But this also offers me some nice syntactic sugar in that this printout and the ordering of the printout is all done by systemtap, and I don't have to worry about it. If I were doing something like maximum or minimum, this is a much faster way of doing it, and I don't have an example of how that looks, but look at the documentation. And it would print out things like maxima and minima, or maybe even little histogram charts if I wanted. So effectively, these are really fast aggregates. Use them if you happen to be doing any of this. And what this is telling me is that 95 calls in the very short time I ran this script were to the I/O control system call. There were 33 writes, one look self, whatever that is. And this gives me an idea of which system calls happen to be really hot, which is probably not terribly useful, but you can see where this could start getting useful if you limited it to certain processes or certain behaviors that have happened already. This makes sense? We good? Okay. So how might you describe one of these probes? So as I said, you have a provider, a module, a function, and a name. So some examples are this syscall write entry. At the entry to every write system call, we fire a probe. Lockstat is another dtrace provider. Every time we try to acquire a spin lock, we run a probe. This is a Postgres probe. In this case, the Postgres process with the PID 1234 at its transaction start probe. This is a specially named probe that we've put within the Postgres code. And for this probe, we give dtrace certain parameters, like the transaction ID in this case, that we can use to do further analysis if we need to. So when I'm writing a dtrace script, it's made up of a bunch of little segments. Each segment includes first a probe declaration, then an optional predicate. This allows me to filter probes down if I don't want to see all of them. For instance, I might want to see every system call, but just for a particular process ID. Or just for a particular executable, for all the processes running under a particular executable. And so I might use the system call entry probe that I used on the last slide with something like this predicate. So filter out all of them where the executable name is not Postgres. So if the executable name is Postgres and I match my probe, then I'm going to run this bit, the code that follows. Does that make sense? Okay, lunch is setting in for me, and I imagine for everybody else. I'm kind of just making sure we're still on the same page. Okay, so these are just two different examples of a predicate. And this is a useful thing, too. Dtrace has system tap. You have to do this slightly differently. Dtrace has thread local variables. So you can imagine if all variables were global, I have an IO write operation that starts, and I probe that, and I put the time of day in nanoseconds inside a variable somewhere. If three other write operations start before that one completes, I don't want to be clobbering this first variable. So you'd use something like thread local variables for that. And then this is just the code that I would want to run when the probe fires. So my examples in this talk are necessarily very simplistic. I encourage you, if this is something that interests you, to first of all quickly come to grips to the fact that you will not be able to do it very well after my talk alone, but you'll need to read the documentation. So if this is interesting, please do read the documentation and you'll find lots more exciting examples than I will have offered here. Okay, so as I've said, these scripts can get very complex. I'm not showing an example because it would be utterly unreadable. There are literally thousands of possible probes in a well-instrumented, for instance, OpenSolaris system. You can get dtrace to list them all out for you. You have cool things like the aggregates that I talked about, something called speculative tracing, where I guess dtrace in its insides has some buffers that are more expensive than other ones. So you can use some of the inexpensive buffers to buffer up thousands of events if you happen not to know from the outset whether this event is one that you're interested in or not. So if you have some particularly strange Heisenbug, you can instrument everything in what's called this speculative buffer. And then when you hit an event that is sort of a benchmark, a landmark, to say, yes, this is really one of the events I'm interested in, you can take its speculative buffer and move it into real buffers where you can do exciting analysis. I don't have an example of that there because, as I've said but not yet proven, I'm going to talk more about SystemTap than about dtrace. Dtrace does this is something that SystemTap doesn't do, so far as I've been able to find. Dtrace allows you, at least to some extent, on-the-fly modification of data for processes that you're monitoring. This could presumably get very bad very quickly. But it looks like dtrace wants to let you fiddle with this stuff. I haven't, to be honest, tried that myself. Okay, SystemTap. SystemTap looks very similar to dtrace. So here's a hello world example. I think I'm probably supposed to have semicolons. I say probably because that isn't necessarily as sure as you might think based on some of their documentation. And it seems some time to work without the help of semicolons. But in any case, that's probably a good idea. I'm using the special SystemTap begin probe, like the dtrace begin probe, and printing hello world. This is a more complex example. I'm using the VFS read return probe, which returns whenever there's a read operation on a file system. Which fires whenever a read operation returns from a file system. And I'm capturing some exciting stuff from this operation. So there will be variables, which I this return value. This is a special system tap variable that contains the return value of whatever function I happen to be monitoring on a return probe, if that makes sense. So I'm seeing what value this read operation is returning. That particular example was part of a much longer script, which captures each read and write from each process, records the process name, the device name, the operation type, the size of the operation, and every 5 seconds prints out a nice, pretty summary of all of that, which I hope is on a slide somewhere, but I guess isn't. So you'll have to take my word for it. But this is starting to get, hopefully, give some idea of useful things that you can do. You can see which processes, for instance, are doing the most reading based on something like that last script. Again, for further details, if it sounds interesting, there are all sorts of examples on the web, but not in my slides. The components of a system tap script are very similar to those of dtrace. You reference a probe. The system tap idea of a probe is somewhat different than that of dtrace. So as I said, dtrace, you mark the code in certain places, and in those places, you can hang little triggers. System tap operates much more like a debugger. Provided I have debug info, I can stick little triggers wherever I want in whatever bit of the code I want. There are, however, these things called tap sets, which are basically nicely named aliases. You know, when you specify any debugger, like I want a breakpoint on line 101 in whatever.c, sometimes typing all of these, sometimes these breakpoints can be a little difficult to remember, so you have a tap set, which gives a nice friendly alias name for whatever debugger breakpoint sort of looking command you'd want to use. Does that make sense? Okay, good. I'm getting the blank stares again. You know, always worries me. System tap has a timer, probe. This fires every 200 milliseconds. This one here will fire every 200 milliseconds. So if you want to periodically print out results like IOSTAT or VMSTAT might do, you can use this timer probe. And then the code that you pass to the timer probe will print out data every time the timer fires. And you can do wildcards in system tap, much as you can in dtrace, though the syntax differs a little with this asterisk here. Okay? System tap lets you probe specific processes, much as dtrace does, but it happens differently. It has this process provider where I give it either the process ID, or I give it the executable name, rather the executable path exactly. So if I wanted to probe a function within Postgres, I can do it like this. This one calculates selectivity for a join with an equality operator. Or I could have some function foo running in this process ID, and this would set up a probe right there. System tap will also support marker-based probes like dtrace does. So in Postgres, we've defined these markers, like transaction start and transaction end, that we would use with dtrace. System tap supports them too, like this. So process ID 5783 is, according to this script, has got a transaction start mark in it somewhere, and this will run at that point. System tap will complain if it looks at PID 5783 and can't find a mark of that name. The Postgres probes are very well documented. There's a nice list in the documentation that gives the name. It gives a description of what they are and gives a description of each of the arguments that they're passed, including a data type. That data type you do have to look up sometimes. And sometimes data type handling, especially in dtrace, if you give it some weird data type, is a little difficult for dtrace to handle. System tap, because it has the debugging information, tends to be able to figure things out pretty well. There is one interesting difference. In dtrace, this would be called transaction-start, or is that a hyphen? I never remember. But in any case, it's double underscores in Postgres, in system tap. I can't say that I know why that is for sure, but that's how it works. Josh?
How does system tap able to actually see the function name?
It uses the debug info. So when I was testing this out, I'm sorry, the question for the recording and anybody that couldn't hear, it was how is system tap able to find the actual function name? And this, it uses the debug info for all of those kinds of things. So the Postgres process that I would test these against would be built with both enable dtrace turned on and enable debug to keep debug info. In the case of something like, you know, a running production RHEL server, there is a separate debug info package that you can download, you know, debug info dash install kernel downloads the kernel debug info and sticks it somewhere. I hear rumors that right. So if you need the comment was that you'd have to compile Postgres anyway to get dtrace enabled. Yeah, if you're wanting to instrument your kernel or something with systemtap, you'll need the kernel debug info. You will have to compile your own Postgres to get dtrace turned on. So at that point, it would be a good idea also to include debug, unless some packager on Linux even wants to ship it with enable dtrace turned on and with maybe debug info files available separately or something. Okay, I have mentioned before that each of the probes can optionally carry with it certain parameters. Those parameters pass information about precisely what's going on. For instance, Postgres has a query parse start probe, and one of the things I can get out of that probe is the actual text of the query that I'm trying to parse. I would do it something like this. This is systemtaps, this $arg1 is systemtaps way of referring to that variable passed along with this probe. Does that make sense? So here I can get the actual query that's being run. If I run this against pgbench, I get this, and I've truncated with these little ellipses. I've truncated the queries just for space on the slide. But you can see that this gives me every query that gets run through the parser. One of the things I would like to try maybe with dtrace, I have a number of applications that think they know how to write SQL but don't actually, and it results in lots of syntax errors or unnecessary multiple joins. And so I'd really like to be able to grab this query, match it against a regular expression, because the sorts of cases that I'm talking, that I am involved in, are very simple. So I'll have a regular expression to identify queries that I want to change and modify them appropriately, and then push them back into the parser. With something like dtrace, I could probably, but have not yet successfully tried to do this. Systemtap, so far as I see, does not offer me any mechanism for changing user data. Now, one thing that is interesting and important to keep in mind, this variable is a C string. So what I'm getting passed around is really just a pointer to a character. And presumably there's a null somewhere subsequent to wherever I'm pointing to indicate the end of that string. So that exists in user memory. In systemtap and in dtrace, I'm running in kernel memory, and I have to copy back and forth. So this user string function, in the case of systemtap, is what you use to do that. So again, this is the result that I get when I run this against pgbench. Okay. As I said, in systemtap, thanks to the debug info, it's possible really to stick probes wherever you want and examine any local variable. I haven't been able to get non-local variables. Like, for instance, I was playing with WorkMem and how WorkMem is used, and I wanted to get the Postgres global variable available in some parts of the code called work underscore mem, but I couldn't get systemtap to find it, presumably because it's not a local variable. May also have been because it was really early in the morning at a conference. So we have a customer who's got lots and lots and lots of multi-column indexes. And as one example usage of systemtap, they have tons of multi-column indexes. Multi-column indexes are all fine and good, but what I was curious to know is when these indexes are scanned, how often are all of the columns used? So I have two columns, foo and bar, in my table. I have an index on foo, comma, bar, and I can use that for scanning stuff where I know foo, like select star from table where foo is A. I can also use that index to answer questions like select star from table where foo equals A and bar equals B, right? So in the first case, when I'm only looking for foo, I would scan that two-column index with only one scan key. And in the the second case, I would scan it with two scan keys. And I was curious to know, of all of these multi-column indexes, how often are they scanned with, say, all of their columns versus just one column? And I was operating under the possibly deluded idea that that would do me some good once I had that information. Unfortunately, their system is not one of those lucky enough to have this U-trace probe stuff, so I haven't ever actually been able to try. But I did work up an example and use it to get me into a conference. So in this case, the function... Well, you know, in the, ditching the family. In this case, the function that I'm interested in, this is a B-tree index. When you scan a B-tree index, you eventually get calling BT first, which is this right here. The lines have wrapped, but if you were actually writing this, there would be no space between the period here and function there. But anyway, the function is called BT first that lives inside Postgres. That BT first is passed two arguments, one of which is something that describes the sort of index scan that I'm doing, and it's called scan. So that's a structure. This, so far as I've been able to try, is difficult in D-trace, if possible at all, because A, you can't necessarily probe right here. B, even if you can, you can't necessarily read this structure. Or C, if you can, you have to read it in terms of like exact memory offsets from one point to another. Anyway, it gets hard. SystemTap does this for me, which is nice. So this scan structure has a member number of keys, which is the number of keys involved in my index scan. This is what I was interested in getting. And so at this point, I can just print it out. I also want to know what index I'm scanning. So the other member of this scan structure is called index relation, which itself is a structure with a member RDID, which is the OID of the index that I'm trying to scan. Does that make sense? Okay, so all I'm doing is printing those values out. One of the unfortunate deficiencies I've just managed to notice in my slides is that I very rarely have a script that does anything more than print stuff out. Perhaps you'll forgive me and just take it on my word that there are other things that you can do inside these scripts than just print things. In any case, this is what I get. So I have these OIDs, and I have these scan keys. And now, as I said, I was operating under the possible delusion that this information would be of use to me. That information may be of use. I don't know. We good so far? Does this make sense? Any questions?
Kevin. On an earlier slide, you could look at any local variable. I was wondering, are you, the ones that in GDB say they're optimized out, are those visible or not?
That is a really good question. To be honest, I think all that I have tried to read with SystemTap, I'm sorry, for the sake of the recording and anybody that couldn't hear, the question is, if you fire up a debugger and you hit Postgres with it, and then you try to look at some value or another, you get this value has been optimized out. I mean, particularly like values for your index in tight for loops or whatever, a lot of those things will be optimized away, and you won't be able to see them. My guess is that SystemTap won't be able to see them either. Now, keep in mind also, this is not exactly a debugger in that you're not going to be going in and manually stepping through line by line to see what's happening, because, of course, that would totally destroy performance. But you are able to, you know, watch instantaneous values. In any case, my suspicion is that that value would also not be available, but I can't say that I've tried it enough. In case this is not clear, I don't have Solaris customers, for instance, or for that matter, anybody on OS X or many on FreeBSD. So I haven't used D-Trace in production. I have not used SystemTap in production either. I am presenting this here as a, theoretically it will not destroy performance, but don't blame me if it does. no warranty, express or implied. Anyway, I don't know the answer to that question, Kevin. That would be cool. Okay. I haven't quite gone as slowly as I expected, but we're getting close. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Postgres, the markers that Postgres provides. As has been said, these are documented. Yeah, Josh.
So I was just actually looking at something. I have a question, Joe, which is that as far as I can tell, I can't compile Postgres with the D-Trace probe.
Aha.
Unless actually a D-Trace present on the system.
That's correct. So there are, in general, the ways I've seen this, let's see, in many cases, especially if you want to try SystemTap on a non-Fedora box, it's best to just get the SystemTap from Git and compile the very bleeding edge. Ubuntu does offer a SystemTap package. I haven't ever exactly made it work because getting kernel debug info on Debian is a pain unless you want to build your own kernel, and I didn't. On Fedora, there are two SystemTap-related packages that you need. One is SystemTap itself, which is just the required SystemTap binaries to run some of these. If you're trying to, for instance, build Postgres with enable dtrace, you have to install, I think it's called systemtap-std-devel or SDT-devel, which will provide you a dtrace binary, which is actually just sort of a wrapper around the systemtap stap binary. But it will also provide you the things that your code needs to link against to make those probes actually useful. Did I see a hand somewhere else? Yeah, the comment was it's SystemTap SDT, not STD. So I'll be installing the gonorrhea packages. Thank you. They're called STIs now. Okay. Right, link Postgres against syphilis. So just to give you some idea of the markers that Postgres installs, and you can go and read the documentation, search for dtrace. Magnus's little search script will find it for you very nicely. Thank you, Magnus. But we get things like transaction begin, commit, and rollback. Some of these stats you can get from other places in the system too. But one of the big advantages of something like SystemTap or dtrace is that, as I said before, if you're gathering data from lots of different tools, integrating those data becomes painful. Whereas if you're doing this in SystemTap and you want to be creative and do what my scripts do and just print stuff out all the time rather than something more exciting, or even if you're doing something more exciting, you can format everything consistently, for instance, or tab separate everything so that Perl or R or Postgres can read it in nicely, or whatever. So we get transaction, begin, commit, and rollback. We get query start, end, parsing start, end. A lot of these things like query start and end. The query start is up here. Query end is down here. Parsing start is right here. Parsing end is right here. Rewriting start and end is here and here. Anyway, so query start and query end is the whole processing of a query, whereas within that, there's parsing, and there's rewriting, and there's planning, and there's executing. Okay. Checkpoints are very similar. There are lots of different stages to the checkpoint process. The Postgres dtrace documentation assumes that you have a clue what some of those pieces are. If you're really quiet and don't tell it, then it doesn't understand when you don't have a clue. You get to see about things like when buffers are written and read, when wall buffers are written and read. And anyway, you can read all of this. Getting an interesting idea of locking could be fun. These are the SystemTap probes. One more time, if you're using dtrace, these probe names in the documentation are written as though you are using dtrace, which is probably the most likely bet if you're using this at all. And again, those are like transaction-start or query-parse-start. If you're using SystemTap, you have to replace that with query underscore underscore parse underscore underscore start. So, as I said, SystemTap will instrument things that dtrace doesn't. There are some sort of interesting ways that you could combine data grabbed from the kernel and data grabbed from Postgres, for instance, and get things all integrated together, like per-device fsyncs or kernel-level locking, or you could compare traffic in your wall data with traffic in your C-log data and traffic in your stats file and traffic in each of 17 different table spaces and combine all of that with data pulled from, say, markers within Postgres. So this stuff is pretty neat. Questions? I have like 15 minutes left for questions. Boy, I talked fast. Questions, Josh? The only way to figure out places to grab stuff is by looking through the code if you aren't just using the markers, yes. Jonathan. Let's say I'm writing GL and core dumps Postgres all the time, but what's question is, if you're writing a brand new PL that core dumps all the time, what probes might you be interested in looking at? My first bet is that you probably wouldn't be interested in probes, you'd be interested in GDB. You know, this is again, primarily focused at instrumenting production systems where a debugger could be a bad idea. There are not probes that I have seen for instance, the function manager to call some procedural language function. You could probably write one and send in a patch and watch it get argued down on the list. But anyway, there isn't one so far as I know. PL low code runs, does not run in production, and PL low code does not have any dtrace probes in it. That would be an interesting experiment. The entire idea of PL low code is pedagogical anyway, as opposed, well, in conjunction with like being a major publicity stunt. That would be an interesting sort of pedagogical effort to include dtrace probes in LL code. Lolstap. I mean your app probing your data. I'm sorry, Kevin, you were saying something.
it sounds like Lolstap. It's pretty hard to get the dtrace probes working with systemtap in Linux.
To get dtrace probes working with systemtap in Linux, you pretty much have to compile Postgres.
That I do anyway.
Right.
But it sounded like the OS level stuff was kind of great.
Fedora makes it pretty easy. Red Hat, Enterprise Linux, and CentOS, I haven't tried specifically. They appear to make it easier than any other distribution. So keys are, you need to be able to get this utrace patch stuff in. Typically in /boot, there's a config file that shows the kernel config, or the config of the kernel that you're running. You can look through there for config_utrace, all caps, and if it shows up, that's a good bet that systemtap will work on your box without having to build a new kernel. Alternatively, you can build and potentially patch a new kernel, but you will, to use the Postgres userland probes, you will need to compile Postgres because I don't think anybody ships it with dtrace turned on. Is it maybe some Solaris packages do.
Okay.
Do they? right. So then for dtrace. I don't know if I mentioned that the major limitation with FreeBSD dtrace is that whereas you can probe kernel level stuff, you can't probe user level stuff, user land stuff. So even if you could compile Postgres with enabled dtrace on FreeBSD, and I was unsuccessful trying that, you can't use any of those markers or probe any of the userland binaries on FreeBSD right now. That is something that they're hoping to get done, among the other things, presumably, that they're also hoping to get done. Further questions, anybody? In the back. The suggestion was that if you do start fiddling with this, put it somewhere so that somebody else can see it. That is a really useful one, especially in the case of systemtap. The documentation tends to change a little bit. You know, it is under heavy development. And I hope that it or something like it will fairly quickly become standard on Linux systems and usable. But right now it is very definitely a development project, you know, an in-development thing. So it's useful, very useful, to see examples. The systemtap examples that ship with the systemtap documentation are really quite useful, and good examples of some of the more complex stuff that I haven't shown anything of on these slides. Dtrace, for those interested in dtrace, has a very extensive user community, and example scripts are very widely available. There's something called the dtrace toolkit, which looks to be, among other things, like a complete re-implementation of things like IOSTAT and VMSTAT entirely in dtrace, which seems sort of like an exercise in futility, except that Solaris's tools are really old, and so it's nice to have a re-implementation. Anyway, but there are lots and lots of examples that you can get of dtrace. E-trace scripts if you happen to be able to use E-trace. Other questions? The comment was that this will probably become more mainstream when RHEL 6 ships, because it would ship with U-trace enabled and people can just use it and know that it's supported. Ideally, Postgres RPMs would start to be distributed with D-trace enabled, at least in some cases. I'm sorry? I'm not the person in charge of that. I can tell you who to talk to. Anyway, so presumably packages would be available under some conditions with D-trace installed. Actually, RHEL 5, as I understand it, already has the necessary kernel patches anyway installed, and as well as the corresponding CentOS version. I've not used them to try for sure. I've done most of my testing on Fedora. Okay. The comment was that it is reasonable, although difficult to try. It is difficult, though possible, to use systemtep on something like RHEL 5. It is very much a pain on, for instance, Debian systems, where getting debug info at all pretty much involves building your own kernel.
The Red Hat docs are actually not bad.
The Red Hat systemtep docs are,
yeah,
are pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Sweet. Thank you very much.